All right. Hey, maybe if Jason lets me tomorrow, I'll show you some motions to that song. That is a fun song. Maybe me and my daughter Adriana, would you do it with me? Come up here on stage? Maybe not. Hey, welcome to camp, guys. I am Pastor Jared. I'm so glad to be here. And as Jason said, I have been preparing for a whole year for this. Last year, I didn't get to come, but I am really excited about what God has for you and what we're going to learn from God's Word this weekend. So can I just start by just having a word of prayer really quick? Can you guys do that with me? Go ahead and fold your hands, close your eyes. Let's pray to God. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the forgiveness that you have granted us. And we pray, God, that if there's any students in here, any kids or even counselors that don't know you, that this weekend, that they would come into relationship with you, that they would be forgiven of their sins, and that they would be able to walk in the light and be able to shine that light to others around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. So my name's Pastor Jared, and I grew up in a country of Brazil. Now, I saw a couple of people here from Brazil as well. If you're from Brazil or ever been to Brazil, go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, yeah, we got a few people. Awesome. So don't ruin this for me, all right? I'm going to teach you guys a little bit of Portuguese, all right? So I'm going to say, oi. And you'll respond by saying, oi. You ready? Oi.
Oi.
You don't even know what you just said. You could have said something terrible. I'm just kidding. It means hi. All right? And then you say, boa noite.
Boa noite.
All right, let's try that one more time. Boa noite.
Boa noite.
That means hi, good evening. Just kind of like, hey, good evening, it's a greeting. So tomorrow morning, I'll teach you how to say good morning, and then in the afternoon, I'll teach you how to say good afternoon. So now you know how to say hello, good evening in Portuguese. I grew up in a country called Brazil, and down there I got to do all sorts of fun things. How many of you enjoy doing, one of the things I enjoyed doing was flying kites. Anybody love to fly kites, like in the summertime, it's windy? Yeah, so we had these kites. They're like handmade, and we had this cord that was like super, super long, like 100 yards long, and we would be flying kites. In fact, the boys would probably like this. We made a game out of it, all right? So we flew, now don't do this when you go home, all right? Don't tell them I told you to do this, but we would fly kites, and then we would try to cross paths with each other and cut each other's cords. If your cord got caught and your kite went flying off, you lost, all right? So that was a fun game. We would swim. How many guys enjoy swimming? Oh, yeah, in the summertime here, it's awesome. We play with tops. The weather was amazing. Where I grew up, it was like 60 degrees was like the coldest it ever got, and like up to 100. It was like summertime year-round. It was amazing. But by far, my favorite thing to do in Brazil was their favorite sport. What do you think the favorite sport is in Brazil? I heard a couple of you, soccer. Someone said football. That's the correct way to say it. Soccer. I loved playing soccer with my friends. It was always a good time. We loved doing that. And maybe tomorrow morning, if you have some questions you want to ask of me, you want to get to know me a little bit better, maybe tomorrow morning we'll give you an opportunity to do that. But tonight, since we're running a little short on time, we'll go ahead and skip that for tonight. How many of you got this little booklet? Go ahead and grab it. Show me that you've got it in your hands, okay? We're going to take notes, so I hope you're ready. Get that booklet ready to go. Get your Bible ready to go. And get your pen ready to go. I'm going to share with you what God did in my heart when I was just 5 years old. Anybody in here 5 years old? No? Good. You probably shouldn't be here if you're five. Okay. Unless you're one of the staff kids. When I was just 5 years old, God did a work in my heart. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about that here in a second. But it all started with going to church and hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. It started with hearing some of the verses that I'm going to share with you tonight from the book of Romans. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and look, open up to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3 is the first verse we're going to have. Oh, sorry, I forgot to introduce my family. This is my beautiful wife and my two girls. Adriana is the oldest, and Kenley is the youngest. They're in the back. Can you wave? You just wave. There you go. Hi, girls. That's my family. They're going to be here for the weekend as well. You can say hi to them this weekend as well. But we're going to get into God's Word. So if you're there, open up your Bibles. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is the first one we're going to go to. But we'll be in the book of Romans all night long. So if you're there, that's a great place to start. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, how many of you have heard that verse before? Just your hands up. Awesome. So a lot of you have already heard that verse. You know this verse. How many of you know what sin means? What is sin? Yeah, right here. Disobeying God, absolutely. That's a good definition. What else? Yeah. Boom. That is the definition I was going to use. So I heard it from someone, so it's not originally with me, but I heard once, and this is really simple, really easy for kids, sin is anything you think, say, or do that goes against God. Really easy. Can you say that with me? Ready? Sin is anything you think, say, or do that goes against God. So that's what sin is. What are some things that kids your age do that are sinful, that are sin? Yeah. Stealing candy, absolutely. That would be a sin. Yes. What else? Lying. Yes, absolutely. What else? Breaking into a locker. Man, you guys are bad people. What else? Cursing, absolutely. Chiefs, way in the back. Absolutely. Last one right here. Yep. Yes, taking God's name in vain. That can be a sin as well. So we know that sin is anything you think, say, or do that goes against God. And we know by the definitions and things that you have been saying is that some kids your age do sin, right? None of you, of course. You're all perfect, I'm sure. You're not? Well, but I'm a pastor. I'm perfect, right? What about your counselor? They gave up their Friday night. They're not perfect either. No one's perfect. Well, how do we know that no one is perfect? What does the Bible verse say? For all have sinned and fall short of the... That's how we know that no one is perfect. The Bible says not even pastors, not even your counselors, no one is perfect. So my sin, I realized at 5 years old, is something that separates me from a holy God. It separates us, all right? So this sin, these things that we were talking about earlier, stealing, lying, cheating, taking God's name in vain, all these things, they are sinful, and they separate us from a holy God. So right there in the blanks, you can write down, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Make sure you get that one filled out, because we're going to move on to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there, but we're going to stop just for a second. The wages of sin is death. So we just said we all have sinned, right? All of us are sinners. We all do bad things. We all do things that go against God. And then the wages of sin is death. So what is wages? Anybody know what wages means? Yeah, you got your hand up quick. Punishment? Not quite. Kind of. You already answered. Yeah, you. What you get? So, say that again. When you get paid. Absolutely. How many of your parents have a job of some sort, okay? Probably most of you, okay? So when your parents go to work, they expect something in return, right? They expect to get paid for that. They don't just go for free, at least not most people, unless you're volunteering like your counselors this weekend. But they're not getting paid. But if you go to work, if your parents go to work, they get paid. We call that wages. It's what they deserve for going to work. So here, the Bible is saying, hey, we all have sinned. And because we sin, what we deserve, what our wages are, is what? Death. Now, there's two different types of death in the Bible. We won't get all the way into it, but there's physical death and there's spiritual death. This is talking about the spiritual death. It's talking about eternal separation from God. So the wages of our sin is death, but I'm so glad that that verse doesn't end there. That verse keeps going, and it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're all sinners. We deserve eternal death and eternal punishment. But God gives us this gift of eternal life. But how do we get that? How do we get that? Well, let's keep going here. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it talks about how God loves us. How he sent his own son to die for us. So in Romans 5, 8, here's what it says. But God shows his love for us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows his love for us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen here, God, that's a lot of love that God has for you and for me. Because I have two little girls in the back. You saw them up on the screen. They're really cute. And I've only met a few of you already. And you know what? In like not a weird way at all, I love you guys, but I would never allow one of my girls to die in your place. I just wouldn't. I remember the first time I held my first daughter, Adrienne, in my hands. I looked down at her, and I had a whole new appreciation for the love that God has for me. Because I looked down at her and I said, I would not let you die for anyone. In fact, I would die before I would allow you to die. But listen, guys, this is what God did for us. He said, here is my son. I'm offering him to you as a sacrifice for your sins. Jesus was perfect, but it says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for me and for you and for all mankind. He died for our sins. As a result of realizing these things, I confessed my sin to God when I was just 5 years old. I believed in my heart, and he forgave me. Just a couple of pages over in Romans 10, verse 9, it tells us how we can accept this free gift that Romans 6:23 was talking about. So in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, boys and girls, this is the most important thing you will ever hear in your entire life. The fact that God loves you, that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, and how do you accept that free gift? It's by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but until that knowledge, until what you know up here takes effect down here in your heart, nothing's going to change. What you know and what you're hearing tonight, if it doesn't affect your heart, if you don't believe in your heart, if you don't confess with your mouth, then you just won't be saved. You can know all these facts, but you need to believe in order to be saved. So boom, I got saved. I was 5 years old, and ever since then, my life has been just wonderful, right? God promises us if we get saved, we're going to have a perfect life. Is that right? No, absolutely not. In fact, it's the opposite. God promises us that there will be trials, there will be temptations, there will be difficulties. Our lives are not going to be perfect But guess who we have with us, if you are saved, to go through all that? God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have God with us through that. So my faith has been tested a couple of times. When I was just 10 years old, I got any 10-year-olds in here? Okay, that's getting there. Good. Got a couple of 10-year-olds. So when I was 10 years old, I had meningitis. Now, you may not know what that is. It's a sickness that oftentimes it can kill you, and oftentimes it'll just leave you with some sort of lifelong effects. And obviously, I'm perfect. I'm just kidding. Honestly, I know a couple of different people, and they have like mental illness still to this day that had meningitis. But praise God, he delivered me from that. In fact, it was shortly after that that I decided to follow God and believers' baptism. I decided to make my faith public. And maybe that's where some of you are here today. Maybe you've accepted Christ, but you've never been baptized. Maybe that's the step that God wants you to take at this stage in your life. A little while after that, my faith was tested again when I was 16 years old. Some of you may know my dad. He's spoken up here at camp, or maybe some of your counselors know him. We were here on furlough. My parents are missionaries in Brazil, and my dad had gone back to Brazil. To make a long story short, he ended up getting shot while he was down in Brazil. Now, I don't expect a lot of you to be able to relate to that necessarily, but this was a time in my life where God was testing my faith and saying, Jared, do you really believe in me? Listen, God is going to send some things in your way in your life, and maybe you're young, and maybe you've already had some of those things come your way. But I can promise you there are going to be some things coming your way that are going to test your faith. After my dad got shot, he stayed in Brazil for 6 days, and then they flew him here to Des Moines. Anybody know where Des Moines is? Okay, yeah, it's our capital. You probably should. They flew him to Des Moines, and the doctor looked him over one time as soon as he got here to Des Moines, and he said, he's not going to make it through the night. Let me tell you, boys and girls, that was a really long night for a 16-year-old Jared. It was a really long night of praying to God and pleading for my dad's life. And God's people, maybe even some of you, were praying that night. And God delivered his life. And in fact, he continued on. He made a full recovery as much as possible, I guess. He's now a quadriplegic. And 2 years later, he headed back down to the mission field. But you know, want to know the thing that most impacted me from that? Right when my dad got here to the States and he started getting better, he came out of his coma, and one of the first things that he did was he said, I want to get word back to the guy that shot me, whoever it was, that I forgive him. And I was like, what? Because down in my heart, I had nothing but hatred toward this guy. I mean, he had shot my dad. I wanted to like gather up some of my buddies and go and hunt him down. That was what my heart was like. It was hard. It was bitter toward this guy. I didn't have any forgiveness in my heart. In fact, it wasn't till years later, actually, when I was in college. One morning, I was doing my devotions, and I read, and it was talking about forgiveness. And then I went to chapel later that day, and guess what? The speaker spoke on forgiveness. And then on Sunday, I went to church, and you guessed it, they talked about forgiveness. And I was like, God, are you trying to tell me something here? From years before, I had never, in my heart, forgiven this guy. And I thought to myself, God forgave me of so much. When I was just 5 years old, he forgave me of my sins. He came to live inside of me. And yet I am withholding forgiveness from this guy. That's the thing that impacted me the most from that season of my life. Now listen, I haven't arrived in this area of forgiveness. In fact, just, a couple days ago, I had to go to my wife. I had sinned. I had to go to my wife and say, hey, honey, will you forgive me? I'm not perfect. Nobody in here is perfect. Being a Christian means that you're going to be asking for and granting forgiveness for the rest of your life. because we have been forgiven so much. We have been forgiven of our sins. We forgive and ask forgiveness freely. So God is still challenging me in this area of forgiveness. Yes, he forgave me of my sins way back when I was 5 years old, but I have to continue to ask for forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, it says, confess your sins to God and he will forgive you. He will cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. We need to continue to keep a short account of our sins in front of God. So tonight, my challenge to you is very simple. Maybe you're here and you're saying, hey, Pastor Jared, I'm a Christian. What you're saying here, I mean, I've heard this 100 times before. I'm a Christian, but I do have some bitterness in my heart. I need to ask for forgiveness, or I need to grant forgiveness to someone. Maybe you have sinned against someone and you need to go to them and humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to God and ask for forgiveness for some sins that you've committed, maybe even today. But maybe you're not a Christian here tonight. And I want you to be honest. Because I know some of you, I am or was some of you. I grew up in the church. I knew all the verses. Romans, yep, heard it. I knew all the right answers. And maybe some of you are here and you know all the right answers, but you're not truly saved. You haven't truly come into a relationship with Jesus. You have not been forgiven of your sins. Listen, this weekend, we don't want this weekend to pass by without you making sure that that is right with God. So that is going to be the most important decision that you make or that anybody makes this weekend, if you decide to follow Jesus. That's all I have for you. Let's pray. Go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. I just have one simple question for you tonight. Are you open to allowing God to work in your heart this weekend? That's my question for you. If you are sitting there, and counselors, you can look around, but all campers, if you could close your eyes, bow your heads. My one simple question for you is, are you open to allowing God to work in your heart, whether you're a Christian or not? Now, if you are willing to let God work in your heart, if you could look up at me and raise your hand and just say, yeah, I'm ready. I want God to work in my heart this weekend. Whether you're a Christian or not, just raise your hand right where you're at and just say, yeah, I'm ready. I came here, I had a great time at school, but I'm here at camp and I want to make sure that I'm right with God. Just raise your hand wherever you're at. Thank you. Okay, you can put those down. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for the forgiveness that you've granted me. I pray that I would freely forgive others as well. God, I ask, if there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't know as you as their personal Savior, that tonight would be the night that they would do that, that they would seek out a counselor, they would talk to me or talk to someone else that they know, and that they would make that right with you even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.